Look, I don't know how else to share this other than to tell you that the Our Father is translated wrong. And not only that, but we're praying it wrong. We're going to talk about that in today's video. And what I'm going to share with you, if you haven't learned it before, is going to blow your mind, because the real purpose of it is absolutely amazing. And we're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So a little bit of context. Yesterday, Sunday reading was the Our Father, and one of the points that the priest made was good. I do want to point this out, that it's really interesting that the very next kind of example where he talks about this person going for bread, he's asking bread for someone else. So one of the things that we can learn is the Our Father isn't just about us asking things for ourselves, but asking for many. Now, the many is incredibly important. So let me say this. The Our Father is a Eucharistic prayer. Its central point is to ask for the Eucharist, not just for us, but to establish a world in which the Eucharist can be received, and so that every person can be capable of receiving the Eucharist. One of a friend of mine that I interviewed not too long ago, I can call him Bart, the holy DJ from Holland. He's obsessed with the Eucharist. I love the Eucharist. He perhaps loves it even more. And he points out very much so the fact of the great evil of the Protestant denominations, because they don't have the one thing that Jesus wants us to have, the Eucharist. That's a central point of our faith and our religion. That's what our religion is all about. If you wanted to strip everything away, you could, and you could say that the Catholic faith is the faith where we're all about the Eucharist. It's the source and the summit. It's what we're all about. And the Our Father shows this in an incredible way. So let's get into explaining something about it so that you can really see this. Now, when you look at the Our Father, it's a mountain prayer. It's structured as a mountain with three steps leading up, the center peak, and three steps leading down. There's the famous seven petitions, but they're not seven separate petitions. They lead up and lead out to the focal point. So first we're going to talk about kind of those petitions, and I'm going to point something out that's absolutely incredible. Now, the first thing that I want to tell you is that we learn from deliverance prayers, the difference between deprecatory and imprecatory. Now, I may have said these words wrong, but essentially there's two types of prayings when you do deliverance prayers. One where you're asking God to do the deliverance, deprecatory, and the imprecatory, again, I'm probably saying that word wrong, is where you're commanding. So when you have authority over someone, let's say over some particular spirit, you can say, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. And you're commanding. Now, that's imprecatory, this sort of authoritative. Deprecatory, you're sort of saying, Lord, deliver us from evil. Okay? And in the Our Father, there's these two types of prayers are present. Now, that's what going to be one of my first arguments. The first three petitions are command prayers. We're going to use that word instead. The last three petitions are asking prayers, where we're asking God to do that. Now, for the first three, how do we have this authority? We have this authority because of the very first lines of the Our Father, when we say Our Father. In doing that, we're beginning to claim our authority to say the next three things. Now, here's an important question. This is something that the priest got wrong. When we say our, who's the other person where we can say our? Because if I say, for instance, this is our spoon, it would be me and someone else's, let's say my wife. So let's say I show you a spoon that belongs to both of us. I would say our. She's the other person in the our. Who's the other person in the our? Now, the typical kind of cheesy cheeseball person is going to say, oh, well, it's us and other people. Wrong. Wrong. It is not us and other people. It's not your and my father. Because it's not my father that I'm allowing you to share, or your father that you're allowing me to share. The answer is Jesus. When we say our father, the other person in the our is Jesus. Jesus is allowing us, when he says, pray like this, our father, he is allowing you to claim sonship or daughtership and to claim his father as your own. Now, that statement is insane. It is bold. It is an atomic bomb. And if we can say that, we can command the next three things. So for instance, to kind of use another metaphor, some of the different exorcists, they critique priests because they say that priests are afraid to command demons, but yet they hear confessions. Now, if you have the power to absolve sin, which is an offense against God, you most certainly have authority to command a creature, which is a demon. So priests will go and hear confessions and say that that's okay, but then they don't want to do exorcisms, which is lower in power than a confession. In the same way, if you can say, "Our Father," you can command the next three things. So Jesus allows us and gives us power to command three things. What are those three things? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. These are prayers of command that we are commanding from the place of sonship or daughtership to the Father. So these are command prayers. So we have to think about, who are we directing these prayers to? So these are like three steps going up to the middle petition, which is the central petition of the Our Father. These three steps going up, it's like a mountain climbing. It's like the three stages of the spiritual life. I'm throwing a lot of things at you, so you need to kind of think about everything that I'm saying and meditate on this. Now, if you look at how these petitions are structured, they are an increasing depth of discipleship to Jesus Christ. Now let's break these down and talk about that. Hallowed be thy name. Now, first of all, when you think about these prayers, who are we asking? And who are we directing that prayer? That's the first thing that we need to kind of be aware of. We're not asking God to hallow his name. In heaven, he already hallows his name. He doesn't need to do that. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. We're not asking for his name to be hallowed. In heaven or in purgatory, they already do that. We're not asking for him to do that. In hell, they're never going to do that there. They completely reject God. We are commanding for God's name to be hallowed on earth. Now, it's in some sense, we're asking God to do it, but really, we are like emissaries of God. We're like his ambassadors. What that prayer is asking for conversion of souls. So if you want to ask Jesus Christ, Jesus, how should we pray for people to be converted to you? He never gives us a prayer like that. Instead, he gives us the Our Father. And he has us say it like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're asking and commanding for humans out there that don't currently hallow his name to begin hallowing it. So basically, begin revering it. So we're basically commanding and we're taking ownership of Jesus' authority that those that are atheist become believers. Okay. In the same way that Jesus, when they're on the storm on the boat, and Jesus takes this authority and he says, "Be quiet." He doesn't ask God to quiet the storm. He says, "Be silenced." That's what we're doing. Hallowed be thy name. We're speaking it out into the world. Does that make sense? We're commanding it to happen at that moment. So if you ever want to pray for someone to be converted, that's how you pray it. Hallowed be thy name in the heart of John, in the heart of Mary. Does that make sense? It should. So you are asking for that person to step from non-belief to a believer. But next, the next petition goes higher. You don't only want them to be believers. You want them to be in the church. Thy kingdom come. Do you see how it's a command prayer? It's not deprecatory. It's not, may your kingdom come, or have it be the case that your kingdom come on earth. No, we're saying thy kingdom come, imperative. Do you see that we are commanding out there on behalf of God as his emissaries, as ambassadors for his kingdom to come? What is the kingdom? It's the church, a visible and invisible kingdom where there's a head of state. We have our own flag. We have our own country. We have our own rituals and cultures and clothing. It's the church. Don't listen to what anyone says. The kingdom of God is the church. It's meant to be Judaism 2.0, just like David was the king of Israel. The Pope is the king of the kingdom on earth, the Catholic Church. That's what we're commanding. So we're praying for people to be converted from non-belief to belief, and then from belief to being Catholic. But then we want to go one step further, because see, there's those three stages of the spiritual life: the purgative, illuminative, and unitive. Those are the three stages. You're growing higher and deeper. What's the last stage that we're commanding out there, preparing the world to receive the middle petition? That's what we're leading to. That's what I'm leading you to. Thy will be done. Do you see that? It's these three are three of one type of category, commanding for this to happen in the hearts and minds of Catholics already in the church that are believing to, as Father Ryan says, Father Ryan Stawitz says, not just to find God's will and know God's will, but to love God's will, to absolutely love it, to be all about it, to do it, to want it, not just to do it, but to love His will. That's what we're praying when we pray, Thy will be done in my heart, that I gain that power to do it, that I'm capable of doing it now, that I go from not being able to being able to in my heart and the hearts of all priests, bishops, the Pope, everyone. So these are three command prayers that we are commanding for a transformation of the world to then what? What's the whole point of the Our Father? The whole point of the Our Father is to call down the Eucharist as the source and summit. It's the summit. It's the three steps upward to that peak. That's what we're asking for. So, okay, this is where there is this mistranslation. Now, when you look at the translation in Greek, you could download several apps. One that I use. So this is not obscure information. You can find this. It's eSwordLT. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to explain that a whole lot. But when you go and you use this, there is a Greek word, and it's the only time that it's used. It's used the same in the Our Father in Matthew and the Our Father in Luke. And the word is epiousios. So when you think of the English or even the Latin saying of the Our Father, it makes no sense. Give us this day our daily bread. Why did they call it daily bread? We just said day. Why are you repeating the word day? That makes no sense. Jesus was smarter than that. He wouldn't have said, give us this day our daily bread today. Why are we repeating the usage of the word day? The word day is not the Greek word that is used. And in fact, if you look up the word, give us this day, it's a different Greek word. You can find that right here. So when it says, give us this day, the Greek word is saimeron. That's the Greek word. Now, if it meant daily bread, it would say, give us this saimeron, our saimeron bread. But what it doesn't use that. It's the word epiousios. What does the word epiousios mean? And this is a crux of the matter. This is where the devil doesn't want it accurately translated, because if it was accurately translated, it would be so clear that we're asking for the Eucharist, that every Christian on earth would have to believe that it's the Eucharist that this is asking for. Epi means above, ousios means substance. So you can either, it can either say, give us this day our higher substance bread, or the word super, give us this day our super substance bread. Epi, like episcopal, like a higher authority. Ousios means substance. So Jesus, and the ancient Greek is the most ancient language that we have. We don't know what Jesus would have said in Aramaic. So we don't know actually the words that came out of his mouth. The ancient Greek is the closest that we can come to it. But Jesus was having his apostles and disciples call for a transformation of the world from non-belief to belief, from belief to church, from church to doing God's will, so that we can then ask for this super substance bread, this higher substance bread, this supernatural bread is perhaps a word that we would use. What is supernatural bread? Nothing else but the Eucharist. We're asking for the Eucharist. And then the next three petitions are deprecatory. They are asking God, so they're no longer commanding, because we commanded to transform the world, which is what Jesus wants. He wants us to go and baptize, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? So that people can receive the Eucharist. That's why we baptize, to receive the Eucharist. That's the whole point of his mission. And then we protect our reception of the Eucharist in the next three petitions. Now look at the petitions. It's no coincidence that you're asking for the Eucharist. And then the very next thing that we ask for is, forgive us our sins. In other words, we're going to ask for this Eucharist. And as we're asking, and just before we receive, forgive us our sins, make us clean. And then the next thing that we ask, I think of these as like defensive petitions. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. think about that. It's kind of these deepening stages of perfection. Keep us pure so that this Eucharist that we are receiving affects the change that it's supposed to do, so that the Eucharist and all its power and all its glory can drop like a bomb in our soul, and there's nothing to stop it from doing so. Does that make sense? So we have these three petitions: cleaning the world to receive the Eucharist, convert people, come into the church, do God's will, give us the Eucharist. And now that you're giving it to us, forgive us our sins, deliver us from evil, and lead us not into temptation, and then deliver us from evil. Now do you know how to pray the Our Father? That's how you pray. You pray it with mind and heart, knowing that it's about asking for the Eucharist. And you can go to any Christian and show them this and tell them, look at this. Do you know what this word means? You can skip straight to this middle petition is asking for the Eucharist. We're not asking for daily bread. We're not asking for bread from Kroger or HEB or wherever it is your shop. That's absurd. That is not what we're asking. In fact, in some of the paragraphs just after the Our Father in Matthew, he talks about do not seek treasures on earth, but in heaven. Seek heavenly treasure. So why would he have us asking for day bread if he wants us to seek heavenly treasure? He wants us to ask for heavenly bread. If we understand this, the power of the Our Father is to convert the whole world so that the whole world can receive the Eucharist and then be protected so that the whole world can keep receiving the Eucharist and remain in a state of grace to receive the Eucharist. That's what Jesus wants. Think about that. That's mind-blowing, that the only prayer that Jesus gave us is all about the Eucharist. That's really the Eucharistic prayer one, not the one that's in the Mass. That should be Eucharistic prayer two. Our Father is really the first Eucharistic prayer. My friends, there's so much here, no pun intended, to chew on that this is all blowing my mind. If this has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.